Blog Talk Radio. Good morning and welcome to Get Healthy Now. It's been 4 days since we switched to daylight saving time here in California, which will end Sunday, November 7, 2021. Why is this subject so important? And why does it touch my soul? And why do I want to share it? Well, I'm actually affected by it. It does affect my health. It does affect my mind, which I'm working on, that it doesn't. And so I just want to tell you, I'm a human being like all of you. And we all are affected differently. So let's go through a few facts and things that have been documented so we know how we can actually look at things, prevent things, or actually prepare ourselves. So first of all, do you like or do you dislike the time changes? And some people do actually like it. I, for one, really dislike it. I don't like it at all. So I just want to give you some facts about daylight savings time kills. That was published on March 18, 2021 by Thomas Knapp. He wrote an article and it reads, March 14 marked the beginning of National Tired and Grouchy Week in much of the United States as we participated in the annual gimmick of spring forward to daylight saving time. Tired and grouchy people don't drive as well. According to a 2016 study by University of Miami economics professor Austin Smith, springing forward results in an average of 30 excess auto accident deaths at a social cost of $275 million each year. It's such a huge number. It's scary. So why do we do it? Well, because the government says we should. Why does the government say we should? In theory, we owe the practice to things like a need for farmers to have more daylight during their waking hours, or to energy savings from not needing as much artificial lighting during work hours in town. If those sound to you like concerns from a century ago, when society and commerce didn't run 24/7, when automotive lighting was unreliable and roads weren't very good, etc., bingo. The U.S. adopted daylight saving time in 1918. The whole thing was a silly idea even then. Instead of everyone changing their clocks, people who really felt a need for more daylight during their waking or business hours could have just changed those hours. I once read a mention, I don't know if it was true or not, of a tower built on the cliffs of Dover in the early 19th century, staffed with eagle-eyed watchmen whose job was to warn of any impending seaborne invasion of England by Napoleon. As the story had it, the British government finally got around to decommissioning the facility 150 years later, long after the invention of radio and radar, and not to mention the death of Napoleon, had made it superfluous. Daylight saving time is even dumber than the watchtower. It's never served any truly compelling function. These days, its only beneficiaries are probably computer programmers who get a little extra work coding for automatic transitions to and from it, and funeral directors who get a few extra burial fees out of each year. It makes a certain amount of sense, and my neighbor's clock should be in sync with each other. It makes no sense at all that both clocks and all others should spring forward by an hour in March and fall back by an hour in November. If state legislators are going to prescribe time settings, each legislator should prescribe one setting applicable year-round. So Thomas L. Knapp is the director and senior news analyst at the William Lloyd Garrison Center for Libertarian Advocacy Journalism. And he does live and work in North Central Florida. So that was one thing. Then I found another amazing piece of information, what I was actually really looking for, because I asked you if it affects your health or your moods or whatnot. And here we go to the nitty-gritty. Let me give you the intro, written by Amanda McMillan, updated December 19, 2019. It says, 7 ways daylight saving time can affect your health. An hour of lost sleep and out of whack circadian rhythm could affect your fertility, heart health, mood, and more. So let's see what the findings were. Well, we'll lose an hour of sleep as we spring forward this weekend, turning our clocks an hour ahead on Sunday morning. And while we'll gain an extra hour of daylight in the evenings, we'll lose it in the morning waking up and maybe even heading off to work or school before the sun comes up. An hour may not seem like a lot, but the time shift can have significant effects on the body, says Dr. Sindhay Kumar, MD, Assistant Professor of Neurology and Medical Director of the Sleep Disorder Center at Wake Forest Baptist Medical Center in North Carolina. With the springtime change, you essentially have to go to bed earlier and get up earlier, which is difficult for many of us to do, she says. Most of us end up losing 40 to 50 minutes of sleep those first few days. And as a nation that's significantly sleep-deprived to begin with, even that little change can impact health. Indeed, studies have noted all kinds of physical and mental effects associated with daylight saving time, or DST, both the shift to it in March and the shift away from it in November. Read on for a few examples of how the time changes can affect your body. And now I'm going to go through 7 steps and I'm going to tell you about it. I mean, it's rather interesting what it all affects and how we, our body, our mood and everything get affected. So the first one is IVF success rates drop in March. The weeks immediately following the March time change may carry unique risks for women who have had previous miscarriages and are undergoing in vitro fertilization, that's IVF. In a recent study published in Chronobiology, international miscarriage rates were much higher for women in this group whose embryo transfers were conducted within 21 days of the start of DST compared to those whose transfers were conducted in the rest of the year. The study found no link between miscarriage rates and the fall time change, nor any other time of year patterns, and the authors say more research is needed to confirm a true link, but they hope their finding will shed some light on how changes in circadian rhythm can affect fertility and reproduction. The second one is heart attack spike after the springtime change. A 2014 study published in Open Heart found a 25% jump in the number of heart attacks occurring on the Monday after DST starts compared to other Mondays during the year. The total number of heart attacks didn't change for the whole week, though the burden just shifted to earlier in the week. It could be that combined stress of a typical back-to-work Monday and that hour of lost sleep is particularly hard on people who are already vulnerable to heart problems, say the study authors. They also found the opposite to be true in the fall. there was a 21% drop in the number of heart attacks on the Tuesday following the end of DST. Interesting. So going forward an hour, spring forward, causes more health problems than going back an hour in fall. The third one is stroke rates rise when DST starts and ends. Heart attacks aren't the only cardiovascular risk associated with changing clocks. Preliminary research presented at the 2016 American Academy of Neurology's annual meeting found that stroke rates in Finland are 8% higher on the average in the 2 days following both time changes, spring and fall, compared to the 2 weeks before or after. Older adults and people with cancer seem to have the most increased risk during this time. Disturbed sleep patterns can contribute to high blood pressure and poor mental health, Dr. Kumar says, who was not involved in the studies mentioned here, both of which are risk factors for heart attack and stroke. Number four is fatigue and cyberloafing are rampant. Lost sleep can have more obvious health effects as well like fatigue and decreased productivity at work. In fact, Google searches for entertainment content, specifically the terms YouTube, videos, music, and ESPN, rise sharply on the Monday after the springtime change, according to a 2012 study in the Journal of Applied Psychology, suggesting that sleep-deprived employees are spending more time cyberloafing or using the internet for personal use while pretending to do work. Number five. Teens are especially exhausted. High school students may be particularly vulnerable to daylight savings, included sleep loss, says Dr. Kumar, since their internal clocks make it difficult for them to shift their sleep patterns an hour earlier. A 2015 study in the Journal of Clinical Sleep Medicine found that teens lost significant sleep after the springtime change and showed increased sleepiness, delayed reaction time, and more lapses in attention on subsequent days. This is concerning, not just for academics, but also for teen driver safety behind the wheel. In fact, several studies have reported increases in fatal automobile accidents in the days following the springtime change. That should be already a big red flag for stop doing that. I mean, who can stop teens from driving? They all want to drive to be more independent and to give their parents a little bit more free time as having to drive them everywhere they needed to go. Teens who can drive usually are very active with school activities, after school activities, sports and things, and the parents quite often cannot get out of work or don't have the time because they have other children, younger or whatnot. And so looking at that, it just really, wow, it doesn't make any sense to change that, does it? Let's go to number six, cluster headaches may strike. For people who get cluster headaches, a rare but extremely painful disorder, attacks often occur around seasonal changes, especially after increases in warmth and light. Some people report increases around daylight saving time changes in the spring and fall or around the summer and winter solstices, the longest and shortest days of the year. And number seven is depression diagnosis rise in the fall. In the fall, losing an hour of evening light can be a serious downer, and a 2016 study published in Epidemiology found that depression diagnosis actually increases in the months following the shift back to standard time. No increase or decrease was associated with the springtime change. The amount of daylight you're exposed to really can have an impact on mood and depression, especially for people with seasonal affective disorder, says Dr. Kumar. Spending time outdoors during light daylight hours, even a quick walk in the morning or at lunchtime, provide some protection. So those are some of the facts that I found. And I thought they were really interesting, especially since, as I said, I feel it. I am more clumsy the first few days. I get up groggy in the morning, or I don't even remember turning off the alarm. Normally, when the alarm goes off, I turn it off, and then it's 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, light on. And then I do my reading, which I do in the morning. It's usually a scroll from Ogmandino, the 10 ancient scrolls, and then do my prayers and then get up, get dressed and, you know, do my exercises and start with the day. But the last few days, I did not even realize turning off the alarm. It was just an automatic thing, turn it off, and I woke up about an hour later, which was my regular time, and I go, oh my, this is not good. I just lost an hour. I don't want to sleep through the daylight. I need to work. I have too much going on. I'm excited. I have a great day planned, you know, with activities, things to do, IPAs, which are income-producing activities and whatnot, taking courses, helping my clients. And so just losing that hour because I didn't even hit the snooze button. I did turn it off, obviously, in my sleep and didn't even realize it. I go, this is not very good. So how can we actually prepare for the time change? And I did it once, and it worked quite well. But I've been so, especially right now with the pandemic and being at home for everything and working out of the house, which is wonderful in many ways. But I kind of get out of reality sometimes and didn't really realize until it happened that we changed the time. The night before, my hubby goes, okay, I'm going to, change the clock an hour forward now. I go, huh? Why? He goes, well, tomorrow is daylight savings time. I go, oh, no, not again. So the best thing that actually worked for me a few years back when I did it is about a month. So in February, I started every night going to bed 10 minutes earlier a week, you know, so you do just like, you do it for a few weeks, 5 to 6 weeks, and then it's the body has time to get used to it. So beginning of February, you go instead, if it 9 o'clock is your bedtime, you go at 8:50. And then a week later, you go at 8:40, and a week later at 8:30. And by the time daylight saving time comes around, you're at the correct time, going back to bed to 8, and the time still is the same to get up because the time changes when you know, on your cell phone it changes automatically, but on your regular clocks you need to change it. But then you still get the same amount, which is actually what's causing all these issues, not getting enough sleep in a sleep-deprived society already. So that's a good one. Then eating healthy really helps. Because the less toxins you have in your body, the better you get to sleep. Hydrating is so important. I'm talking to people who do not have any kidney issues. Okay, if you have kidney issues, this does not apply to you. Or if you have some other issues and the doctor is restricting you, it does not count. But generally speaking, every person should drink a minimum of 64 to 100 ounces of water a day. And the general rule is half your body weight in ounces of water, so you're hydrated properly, because 70%+ of your body is water. So when you perspire, you need more water. When it's hot, you need more water. Depending on the activities you do, you need more water. So it's very important. Exercising is important because when your body is used to exercising, it's also getting used to calming down faster. Exercise stimulates, and then afterwards comes the rest period where it can calm down and get back to the regular cycle. So that's thing before going to bed. That means no computer, no TV about an hour before you go to bed. Reduce all those blue lights in your bedroom so you actually have a deep, calm sleep and your circadian rhythm is not interrupted and your REM cycle is really deep. So you feel relaxed in the morning when you wake up. So important. So having said that, this is actually something that touches me every year twice. The going back in fall doesn't affect me badly. I actually enjoy that. But the springtime, it takes me usually 2 to 3 weeks to get used to it. So I hope you guys can adjust faster and remember the 7 points that it affects and be more lenient with others. If you're an employer, be lenient with your employees because they might fall asleep, remember, especially younger people because their bodies are just not used to it. Or people are having more headaches, cluster headaches and migraines. I know that from my daughter because since we changed, she already was in bed last weekend just when it happened, and I don't think she realized it. It totally goes with the article that I read. Her migraines were so bad, she had to have everything pitch black, and she could barely keep water down. Everything else just came up. It was so painful. And I do not wish that on anybody. Really, not on anybody. So let's make sure we can start preparing differently for the fall and then for next spring so we are actually aware of how our body is changing. Let's take note of it, maybe journal a little bit. Write down how you felt when you woke up, if you were refreshed or if you were groggy, if you were happy or if you were moody, how your tolerance was during the day, if you were as patient as you normally are, or if you had a short fuse. All these things are affected by the change of the sleep pattern. So, yeah, that's the most important part that I wanted to share. Now, there might be some things that you want to work on personally on your health, be it body, mind, or finances, and I would like to offer you one or two gifts or both, depending on what you choose. It's always your choice. I just offer. The first one is a free health goal strategy session where I talk to you and ask you a few questions with your permission about your health, and then we can figure out how I can best help you. The other one is which is an email health newsletter that I send out weekly with a healthy recipe, a healthy activity, and some other important information regarding your health. And if you choose to receive one or the other or both, please contact me. You can either email me to coachdenise@ctdigest.net. It's in the script below. So it's coach, COACH, no space, Denise, DENISE, at C as in Charlie, T as in Tom, digest as in Reader's Digest.net. And make sure you put in the subject line the first three letters in caps, BTR for Blog Talk Radio, so I can fish it out of the spam. Or you can send me a voicemail or a text to 562-335-4956. Remember, I do not answer the phone, only when I have scheduled phone calls and I know with whom. So as long as you leave me a voicemail and a text, I will get back to you and then enter your info. And then I will get back to you, first of all, and then we can talk and make an appointment and see when we can schedule a health strategy session, health goal strategy session, or for the newsletter, we don't need to talk. I could just add you to it, but then I can ask you once you've received it, what you think, what you like, maybe invite you to a webinar about health where we're talking about some amazing things. And that is actually my passion, you know, to spread health. I've been active in the health field for over 50 years, ever since I was a child. I was able to help my aunt in her clinic, and then just little things, you know, with the patient's permission, just tiny things. And then my uncle, who had his own medical practice, I was able to help him set up appointments, get the trays ready with the instruments he needed for the appointment and stuff. And then I became a nurse. And so this is in my blood. I have a lot of doctors and dentists and nurses in my family. So I'm just one of them. It's something that we really love doing. And now working as a health agent or certified transformational health and wellness coach, focusing on mindset, is so important. And I love it because I've experienced and have received confirmation from several doctors. Positive mindset creates health, whereas a negative mindset causes illness. And so since I'm in creating health, why not share that? Why not do things that we can actually be in charge of, that we can prepare of? Whether the government is going to make a change or not, we don't know. And we really don't have that much control over, because honestly, they pretty much do what they want to do anyway. So, I mean, it takes a government to rule a country. I totally agree with that. I just wish there was a little bit more integrity there. But that's my personal opinion, and I don't want to put it onto you. You can think what you choose, and that's all right. So I hope you got something out of this, how daylight saving time does affect us in 7 different ways and more. Again, in vitro fertilization, heart attacks, stroke rates, fatigue, teens being especially exhausted, cluster headaches, and depression. So let's prepare, let's work with it and do the best we can right now till November 7 and prep. We can do the same prep as we did do for the daylight saving time for the standard time by going backwards 10 minutes a week for the 6 weeks before we change, so we're back in swing of it and we don't feel a change. 10 minutes doesn't affect the body half as much as an hour. An hour is significant, and most of us don't get enough sleep anyway. And so it is really, really important to do the best we can and prepare to the best we can. Anyway, I hope this was of some value to you. And I just wish you a wonderful week. If you have any questions, suggestions, or would love to take me up on my gift offer for the Health Goal Strategy Session or the Healthy E newsletter, let me know and I will take care of that. And otherwise, I'm going to say until next week, stay happy, healthy, and empowered.